and Stonebridge and the ridge, or what they call the ridge.
A little too far away.
I used to play those west side courses more. But Stonebridge is in better shape than it's been in a long time.
Well, we use Stonebridge as our ultimate course.
Oh, yeah.
When we have too many tournaments here, we like the tournaments. However, it doesn't help when you're trying to play, you know, as a single. I keep telling Tyler, I'll volunteer. We'll join whatever tournament he wants us to join when they don't have enough players.
Good idea.
Yeah.
We could have used you at the Highway Patrol tournament last, but...
Well, there you go.
Because at the last minute, some people didn't show up.
That was a fun one. I was in that one last year.
Yeah.
With you. Yeah.
Just call us whenever on any of those. I mean, you know, we don't hit very far, but we're usually pretty accurate around the greens.
Hey, it's a scramble. They don't give you any special prizes except on one hole for a long drive.
That's true.
Hi, Court.
Hello, Court. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's for dinner? Court, how are you, sir?
I knew I forgot something.
Hi, Court.
Treats.
Well, I thought you were catering this meeting, Court. What's
yeah,
that,
yes, sir.
What's
how
that
are
your
you?
Assignment?
Thank you.
All right, welcome. I think John's out of the country, so he won't be here today. And Lisa had other items today, too. So it's just us. And Ron.
Well, I guess if John's out of the country, we can excuse him.
Yeah.
But if he's in the country.
Yep.
Lisa's also in St. George. She has a municipal attorney's conference.
That's right. So whoever would like to call the meeting. Order.
I'll call the meeting to order. Yeah, let's call this meeting to order and get rocking.
I think we all need raises.
There you go.
Since John's not here and Lisa's not here.
Just take it out
of his pocket. I propose we double everyone's...
Yeah, let's triple it.
Mega salary.
So zero times zero is still zero.
Oh, ouch.
I think the first item is minutes. If anybody had a chance to read.
I had a chance to read the minutes, and I didn't. It's been so long, I didn't really recognize or remember.
I read them,
anything.
And I'll second the. You know, I think they're okay from what I could tell.
They looked good. Did you think they were good?
Yes, I thought they were just fine.
You probably.
Andrea does a good job with brevity on those minutes.
Yeah. On some of our long talks. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the minutes have been approved.
Okay.
That's good.
I second it.
There you
my
go.
Third, my fourth.
Okay, let's jump into some April revenue. So I have this year and last year comparison. We had a nice weather month, which helped obviously with revenue. So last April, if you remember, we were closed until about the 10th, and we didn't have all 18 open, I think, until the 13th of April last year. So,
wow.
With that, we did, I should have put the amount of rounds we did. We did over 10,000 rounds in April, which is a record by far.
That's great.
Yeah.
The amount of golf we had in April. So you can see that in green fees, cart fees, and driving range, and even merchandise especially. Event Center, I put a little asterisk there. In April, the Bountiful Temple was closed. So I think that impacted our wedding events for April. More than probably
really?
Should have. Yeah.
Yeah,
we didn't know it until about halfway through.
So what you're basically saying is fewer weddings in the neighborhood left meant less demand for event center space.
Yeah. Compared to last year.
It's a minor detail.
Some people get married, you know, right out on the driving range. It's so romantic.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
With the amount of play we had, obviously food and beverage is going to be more as well. So that was a big increase revenue wise over previous year. So 365, that was we're comparing it to 2023. The 2023 was the record for revenue and all
that,
these numbers.
Is that right?
So, you know, to have this amount of money, I was, revenue and rounds, I was blown away with where we ended up with April. So,
that's a good April.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
That's more like that's even a good June. Revenue number compared to
there weren't any tournaments in April. Were there?
We had one smaller outing, two smaller outings in April.
Yeah, so that's really good.
Yeah, and we've had several in May. We typically have one or two in May, and I think we've got six or seven
already
lined up.
Wow.
So, It's busy.
Yeah. How did Saturdays go since it started green and turned white?
Sunday.
Well, it was Sunday, wasn't it?
They played, yeah.
I saw them out there bundled up and with the protectors around the cars, and yeah. I was surprised.
That's, it was a perfect day to have a golf tournament because we wouldn't have been busy otherwise.
You wouldn't have had anybody if there hadn't been a tournament.
And the tournament still went on.
Guaranteed
yep.
revenue.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they paid, and they made their revenue from go to the Maui Fire Disaster Relief and had food and lunch. So it was a $14,000 day for us where it would have been zero otherwise.
That's,
so.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So it just lucked, we lucked
awesome.
Out.
Over there.
I'll tell you, that's why it's great to have those pre-scheduled tournaments, because no matter what the weather is, you're guaranteed revenue.
Yeah,
that's,
well,
yeah. that's
okay.
You know, we missed out on Monday, yesterday, and a little bit this morning just because of the snow. But so we're a little bit behind already in May, but I'm hopeful we'll catch back up.
Oh, you will for sure.
So this is fiscal year, so July through April. I put in where we're at year to date, and then the red numbers for projections are based off of what we've done through April and then last year's May and June numbers. So that'll give you an idea of kind of where those revenue numbers could potentially be if we have a.
So the black numbers are actuals. Or?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So, and if you look at the bottom three, last fiscal year 1.5 million compared to 2.5. This year we're almost $1 million ahead of last fiscal year same period.
Help with the bonds.
Absolutely.
We hope so. And looking
well, revenue doesn't necessarily mean we make more money.
Yeah.
Well, there's that minor problem.
It's gross, not net.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You're right.
So then, rounds wise, 70, we're projecting at 78, almost 79,000 nine hole rounds, which is quite a bit. And then 3.4, as long as we have a good May and June.
Dude, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is amazing.
3.4?
More than ever.
Where's that old mayor?
Oh. He's around. He's one.
The
he's
former mayor.
The one. Yeah, the one I was.
He's paying part of those rounds up there.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
He plays for free.
I don't think the old mayor plays for free. Does he?
No, of course he does.
Well, I didn't.
All old mayors play for free.
He pays for his.
He should be playing double.
But I haven't. I haven't seen Lenarvi up there. I know he's had some health issues. But.
I shouldn't talk like that. Shame on me.
Well, I didn't know that was the deal.
Even.
I guess that's.
Mayor Briggs plays for free.
Yeah, Kay Briggs.
Kay Briggs played for free, and Simmons did till he passed.
Kay's been up there. I mean, he hasn't been the mayor for a long time, but he
utilizes
takes advantage of
he's
that.
The mayor.
He doesn't use it. He doesn't use it much.
He's the mayor emeritus. He's good. Guy.
Well, that's good. They deserve it.
So. Our next meeting will be kind of a recap on fiscal year numbers, so I'll have everything for you, what we end up being, but gives you a good idea. I'm hopeful for a good May, and June is very busy, even with what we have scheduled with weddings and tournaments and events. We have, other than Sundays and Mondays, which we have a couple events, we have one Tuesday available. If you're looking at Tuesday through Saturday, you either have a golf tournament or a wedding, other than one day. In June, so we'll be.
That's great.
The golf course will be busy, and Justin is panicking with not really panicking, but he has a lot of events.
How does the second half of May look as far as scheduled events?
We have five tournaments, which is we have six or seven total, maybe even eight. We have a small group tomorrow, and we typically, like I said, only have one or two, maybe in May.
So people who. Do an outing or a tournament in the early spring, did they get any kind of a break as far as
I gave the Maui group we didn't really have a Sunday rate, but they wanted to play Sunday, so I gave them the Friday rate, which ended up being good. The Bountiful Drill Team, they're coming Saturday, and I split the difference between Saturday and Friday. And, you know, 2 months ago, I'm thinking middle of May. It could be snow, it could be rain, and lucky to have tournaments. But Saturday will be really nice.
This early in the spring, it's always kind of a crapshoot.
Even today, I mean, you played out there. It was cold.
You played today?
Cold.
Yeah.
Oh. God bless you.
Up at Inglewood, I mean, we have to support.
It's cold.
It was the first 21-minute round in golf history.
Yes.
So Tyler, you're showing the projected at almost 79,000 and 3.4 compared to last year. What did we do last year in rounds?
It was about, in fiscal year, it was about 70.
So it's up over 10% in rounds. That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Because that means you're squeezing them in.
We've been very busy.
Okay.
And even if you look at, we used to be at 9-minute intervals, we're at 10 now. So even with losing really three times a day, we're still full. I would tell you, even in May and April, we've had, and it's not been very typical, but a Saturday, if someone calls Saturday morning, we do not have anything available.
Yeah.
First, we have a couple singles, but it's been packed until closing. And that, and previous years I've been here, that's not been the case. I mean, you could even call 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon and get a late evening tea time on a weekend. But April and May has not been the case on us today. So people are clamoring to get out. I think it's not just Eaglewood. I think it's,
I was going to say, in Salt Lake Valley, it's like that. If you don't get your time 5 or 6 days ahead of time, you won't get it the day of or the day before.
I would say, just as a quick national update, nationally, rounds have really leveled off now since COVID. You know, it was up and away ever since COVID, but now they're really leveling off nationally, so that's a really good sign here.
I saw leveling or dropping at all?
Dropping
to a neutral level, it went like this.
Instead of raising,
it's leveling
instead
off.
Of going up anymore, they've kind of dropped a little bit, but they're maintaining.
Okay, so they.
And, you know, it's always weather sensitive. The National Golf Foundation, you know, comes up with all these statistics in conjunction with the PGA of America. But the weather has been different, too. So you're always comparing apples and oranges to that extent, just as we are here. But to be up over last year, believe me, is a really good sign, because there are a lot of facilities that are down about 5%.
Yeah, that's, I read probably the same thing you did. March was pretty good. April was 0.4%, I think, compared to last
April
year.
April really was stagnant, as they like to say, which means no bueno, you know, no good.
But Utah's adding about 45,000 people a year to its population still. And more than half of those are on the Wasatch Front. So,
how many of them are new births, new babies?
The advertising, and et cetera.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people from
all over.
People are still relocating
here.
And one of the things that we found is that probably about 60% of them have gone online, and they've gone to the number one. And even last week, the guy from New York, he saw Stonebridge was right here. Okay, he flew in from New York. Stonebridge was right there. He looked at the, you know, the website and said, ranked number one, came up the hill. Of course, he had to play with two women, and we play by what we call the 80s rule. We're both over 80. We play our own game. You can do whatever you want, but if we don't like where the ball is, we move it. But, you know, fantastic compliments on the course, the office, and the whole bit. It's been really interesting.
What part of New York is he from, do you know?
East of New York.
What part of New York?
Yeah, I talked to him too. I can't remember where he told us.
New York City or New York State?
New York City. New York City, and he had played at the oldest course in the United States just 2 days before.
Yeah, and his dad lives on Jupiter course in Florida that he would always go play as well.
But, and he said it was one of, you know, he said, I haven't played for a while, but he said, other than the last 3 months, I think it was, he said, but this is phenomenal.
You know, if you're from New York City and you come out west and you find green grass, it's great.
Yeah.
Public courses in New York City and the suburbs are awful. You have to belong to a private club to have
anything
decent there. Although upstate New York is quite the contrary. That's why I was asking.
Oh, and it was, he was here for the, whatever the big convention was, 10,000 people there. And so anyway, well, I just good. Thought, I wanted you to know that, hey, we've got people actually looking.
Yeah, we've had
find out, and they want the number one course in the area. So.
Yeah, I'm in much anticipation for the Best of Salt Lake City Awards to come out here shortly. So I'm hopeful we win it again.
Cross our fingers on that.
Yeah, for the third year in a row now.
Yeah. Right
back to
anyway.
Fiscal year, last year fiscal dollars.
Yeah, I want to say we're almost right at where we ended last year, 2.5.
No, but I'm saying for the year, you're going to expect to do what then? Excuse me. So last year, for the entire year, you did 2.5?
Yes.
Yeah, we're already
so
there.
You're talking about going up another 30% over last year?
Yeah. Last May, we did over 400. I think it was 443,000. And then June was same, about 450 total. And that's including Grill, that's including Event Center, but that's overall.
So you're thinking another $800,000 to $900,000 on?
Yeah.
But again, so, but.
May
again,
and June.
So, but 3.4 versus 2.?
2.5, I think it was 2.49, something like that.
I know.
So, and I think we're starting to get the Grill stuff figured out. I mean, April's a good indication.
It's about 40, time.
44,000, I think what we did. 46,000, so.
Well, yeah, but.
We still have a high labor cost there.
Revenue is only revenue. Yeah. It doesn't count unless it makes it to the bottom line.
We did do, Justin and I have bi-weekly meetings on where we're at with food. And so I did, we're at 29% mixed food cost.
Oh, okay.
That's so our labor is a little bit high.
What's a little bit high?
40%.
Well, so you're 30, and so 70, you've got a 30% margin.
So I like to get him to, and it's really going to be training on staff to have a little bit less overlap during slow times. So
right.
Him and I are working on that, and we'll continue
to. Is he still having some difficulty hiring good people?
Yes. Especially cooks. People. Yeah, we have enough beverage cart front of house people and a lot of interest there. Having good cooks for a decent wage has been difficult. We've had a lot of hiring issues. I think we've had some good applicants, but just not caliber of people I think we want quite yet. We have one that I think will be good starting in a couple weeks, and we need one more. We had one cook, had a death in family, he was out, so we were scrambling. And Justin happened to be out of town that weekend too, so we were scrambling to get shifts filled. So if we're down one person, we can't have anyone else right now, so we've got to have at least one more good worker to fill in. So this is what the simulator looks like today. We need to clean it up still, but the painting is done, the ceiling is done. I almost, if he would have called me back, I would have ordered the putting green today. The electrician's coming Wednesday, Thursday next week to put in the lights. I have a flooring guy I'm still trying to work with on some pricing. We were going to put the LVT, the same material we have, over into here. I have about 400 square feet left. Buying that new, it's up to almost $6 a square foot. So I'm kind of rethinking that. It ended up being almost $5,000 for them to put that in, plus prep work. So I'm looking at some gym rubber flooring right now. And then obviously we're gonna cover it with putting green and furniture and stuff. So I think it will look okay. That's gonna be about a third of the cost of what the LVT is. And I think it will help with sound too. So.
Now, are you putting a kind of a snack bar type thing down there?
Yeah, so I'm gonna put a kind of a seated bar kind of behind the two bays here. And we've talked about doing a couch and a few other things in the middle. This is the far north side left. There's a restroom back in here. This is the door up into the event center. The putting green will almost take up this whole entire area. It's about 10 feet wide and 28 feet long. So it's a good size.
How many holes will you put in?
There's about eight.
Eight holes?
There's two on each end and then kind of a mixture throughout. So we thought 30-foot, 28, 25-foot putts plenty long to get some activity. So I've got the two doors that we need ordered, one for the mechanical room and one for the bathroom. And then I've got some materials ordered to swap this brass out to a black finish. So making some progress there. Just trying to fit it in here and there when I've got time to work on stuff, but it's coming along.
What would you say, 7 or 8 weeks still at least?
Yeah, he said 2 days put lighting in. Flooring should only take a couple days. The doors, I think will be here on the 18th. And then I'll either Alan and I, or I'll hire someone to put the doors in and do a little bit of trim work on the drywall areas. I would say by mid-July, we'll probably have it done yet. Should be nice.
What's the, how does the projected cost coming in as budget?
I'm a little bit high on, I'm gonna save it in flooring. Electrical came in about $800 more than I thought it would. HVAC was the same, and plumbing was more. We had some issues with the old restrooms right here.
Yeah.
They had the flanges, the piping was not to code from what they told me. It was 3 or 4 inches below grade, and they said, so they had to rip out almost 3 times as much concrete as they needed to get it back to where it was.
That's not surprising because the code has changed since that was built originally.
Yeah.
So maybe twice, in fact, the codes have changed. So.
And we added a little drinking fountain area over here, so we'll have a drinking fountain down there. That's been one request from some people. So, but yeah, I think it'll be nice once we get it done. Seems dark right now. Hopefully when we get the lights in, it'll brighten it up a little bit. I am going to get some shades ordered. It's almost too bright for the simulators, but too dark for everywhere else. So I'm going to get some roller shades on these other windows for when the sun is really low and shining in there. The next 20 minutes probably going to be a pretty good discussion on rates for next year. I wanted to show you, this is where all of the surrounding golf courses are currently. So Eaglewood at the top, we're, this would be my suggestion for next year. And you're going to look at it and think this is the same as previous years. And I'll get into what I kind of want to suggest doing with taxes. Right now we have tax included in the cost. So the $20 we charge for 9 walking includes that tax. We're essentially on the point of sale system. We have that number as 0% tax. And then Heidi and finance are backing out that 7.25% that we have to pay tax. So green fees are really 1888 or whatever it is, plus tax. People don't realize they're paying tax because we're showing it as 0. So anyways, we'll get into that.
Is that the same for the other
yes.
courses too?
Yeah, and I think there's gonna be a change with that. Everybody might not move on to it next year, but I think a lot of golf courses are going to. It was a discussion at our PJ meetings, and I know there's several Utah County golf courses that have already done it. So I don't think I think some will question, others will be like, yeah, I pay tax on everything, so why wouldn't I on golf or not even notice?
There is a national discussion now, especially when a municipality is providing a service, this service being recreation, why should it be taxed?
That would be my point. This seems, last time I checked, this was a nonprofit.
Yeah, it is interesting to me too, because we're...
And it has been nonprofit for all the wrong reasons.
Well, I mean, again, it's a city.
No, but it's a government enterprise.
But it's not classified as a nonprofit.
Yeah. In state code, it's carved out for government entities that
they still pay
perform
tax.
Retail activities.
They still pay tax.
They pay tax. Like the rec center charges tax,
even
though it's owned by public.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you.
It could
and
be
I,
a lively you, debate.
You can't change.
It seems to me it's a recreational service. It's not a
like
retail
a
service at all. You're not Of course, then you run into the, and there are golf facilities, by the way, who only charge tax, they don't charge tax on green fees and things, but anything you buy in the golf shop is taxed, because that's a retail transaction.
And it's interesting to me, because we're not required to pay taxes on the event center rentals. So that one is a service fee that is not taxed. So there is some argument to be made, what's the difference between renting the event center and the golf course, but.
In fact, that, I would consider the event center more of a retail situation than, recreational golf.
I'm with you guys. But I'm just following, you know, what taxes.
What you're being told.
Okay, Ken, that's your assignment.
Oh, yeah.
We need to know.
No, that's an interesting.
It is an interesting discussion.
That's what city attorneys are for.
So to give you an idea where a few other golf courses, I want to point out Bountiful Ridge, Bonneville, and Mountaindale. So Bountiful Ridge, they have a weekday. Right now, we just have a flat rate every day of the week. Bountiful Ridge is still doing a weekday and a weekend. Their weekday for nine holes is 28, where we're 30. But their weekend rate is up to 62, where we're 60. And remember, I'm still doing some dynamic pricing, so you know we're anywhere from $59 to 60. I think there might even be a $65 rate, depending on time and day.
So Bountiful Ridge on the weekend is 62?
Yeah, so their rack rate is $2 more than we are. I was a little bit surprised, because they were at 56 last year, and we were 58. And then we bumped up to 60, and they jumped to 62. So I was a little bit surprised that they went
that
much.
Have you had a chance to talk to Kent? Have they had any pushback on
that? I have talked to Kent. I think the reason they kept their weekday rate that low is to kind of combat the those that didn't like the higher rates.
But on the weekend, you always reach a point where, you don't want to alienate or turn away golfers because of cost, and yet don't want to be – you don't want to be underpriced either.
Last time I checked, we were full. That means supply or demand is outstripping supply, which means we can charge more.
I am surprised. Lakeside bumped theirs up $1 each on their green fees. Davis and Valley View did not raise their rates at all, which I was a little bit surprised with. So they kept theirs the same as last year. They're still charging their old cart fee. You can see everybody else on this line item. Everybody else kind of followed us with our new carts on going to 10 and 20, and Lakeside, Davis, and Valley View kind of stayed. And I'm not sure where they're at on new golf carts. They may be waiting for that to kind of justify, but I was a little bit surprised again that they didn't bump any of their rates. So Bonneville and Mountaindale, you can see they went up considerably. They were at 60 last year.
60.
And I thought they'd be at 62, just a couple more than we were. But yeah, 64 for both of them. And even Mountaindale, they're pushing everybody to play 18, similar to what we get. So they're charging $35 to play 9 in a cart on the weekends, and 64. So some good information. A few of them are the city courses, and the Ridge are still doing some sort of senior rate there, as well as Lakeside. They do their punch card rates as well, but I just put their regular senior rates.
So like Mountaindale, for example, senior rate, do you have to have a card, or can you show ID that shows your age and they'll let you play for $38?
They have their two different ones. They have a regular senior rate, that is what this is, and then they have their senior card rate, which is like their specialty card that they sell, membership discount card that they sell. So
if you can stay away from all those cards and things, you're way ahead of the game. Keep everything as simple as possible, so you don't have 21 different rates for ads.
I could see it where if it continues, and I'm a little bit worried we're in a recession now or moving towards it the rest of the year, but I could see us eventually getting rid of the punch card as well at some point. So I think that's a good way for us to kind of keep those that play it a lot coming back. And even if they purchase and don't use it, that's even better. Should give me this a little bit. So this is probably more complicated than any of you want to look at. But I went through And what my recommendation for next year is going to be, and this is what I'd like to present to the city council here in May, is to not change our rate, but instead of including tax, exclude it. So essentially online, the rates will look the same, but when someone checks out, then that tax will be added. So for example, if you're looking at our 9-hole regular rate, currently we're charging $18.65 and $1.35 of that is tax. So it looks like it's $20. Ron keeps getting disconnected and connected here. And if we were to just post a $20 rate, which is essentially the same, and then $1.45 of that is tax, we're changing we're making $2.80 different than we were. But it looks like we haven't changed rates, essentially what I'm getting at. So I think it's a creative way for us, instead of bumping up to $64, we're making it up by making them pay additional in tax. Or not additional.
Well, the tax is what, 7%, you said?
Yeah, 7.25%.
You're basically giving yourself a 7% raise.
Yeah. Which I think would be huge.
In my world, I'm assuming your world, our most expensive line item is labor.
Yeah.
Same?
Gone up, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's happening? Are you guys with COLA with these guys, or do they get more than COLA?
Yeah, we've had to adjust rates, yeah, at bay.
And is it, what's COLA run in the last couple?
3% this year.
Only 3%? Oh, you guys are...
Yeah, it was...
You're
well,
rounding
it was,
down.
It was 7% and 6% 2 years in a row.
Okay.
It's going down.
Well,
yeah.
To so your point,
yeah,
I totally concur with your logic. We've used it before.
Yeah.
Because, again, you still post the 20, and when they walk up, you run it and charge them tax. And when they go, well, it's not 20, well, they're sales tax.
You got to pay it.
Same thing happens at Megaplex. For years, they were $7 or $8, and now they listed at $10.50, and guess what? It's not $10.50 when you run your credit card.
That's right.
Yeah.
So,
but isn't it simpler if you just did a flat? Simpler just to raise it to 64, which actually gives you an 8% increase, right?
Well, so I would like to do that, but the issue is our point of sale system will let you do two things. It will let you exclude tax for everything, or it will let you include tax for everything. I can't select certain items, and that's why we've had the green fees and cart fees at 0% tax right now, because I can't. The rounding just doesn't work.
But it's just showing that to the consumer, you have to take it back out of the fee.
Exactly.
But technically, if you raise the fees to $64, and then it's the same fee platform that everyone else is doing where it's inclusive, you're actually getting an 8% raise instead of 7.25%.
And I had this at, I had this at 21 and 42. Oh my goodness. I had it 21 and 42 and just looked at the increase. So the green ones at the bottom really show you
so
the difference.
8.4% increase.
Yeah, so $8.40.
Oh, $8.
Yeah, is essentially what we're making more per person on the 18-hole cart fee right now. And if we bumped it up to 21 and 42, 31 and 62, or even 32 and 64, it ended up being a $7 and $14 increase, which I thought was a little bit too much on the end. I think we could justify it because Bonneville and Mountaindale are 64 already, but this puts us more really where they're going to be at with tax. And it makes it simpler on my end, and I know it helps finance on their end with trying to figure out how much tax we owe the state at the end of the month. So
I would just say you don't have to justify. When was the last time you guys went to the grocery store
and
filled up your car?
Yeah.
Everything is off the chart. And and so to not do it, you're shame on us.
Yeah. I think we have to.
Yes.
And it's taken me a little bit on the food, but I've gone out and grabbed stuff to eat, and it's hard to get a meal and a drink for under $20 just for myself anywhere.
Right.
So
right.
It's impossible, man.
Yeah. So the
In-N-Out's the only place you can.
Yeah.
In-N-Out's the only place you can get good quality burger, fries, and a drink for under $10.
Yeah.
And that's one place.
Yeah.
Any place else, you're at 15 and pressing more if they, if you tip at all.
Go to Five Guys.
Yeah.
I can't because of my gluten problem.
Yeah. They are expensive.
Yeah, that's the point. It's nuts. Yeah. I guess Costco. I'm sorry, Costco. They still have $1.50
hot dog. $1.50 hot dog. Yeah.
Shame on us. Why aren't we doing that?
Yeah. She could be a loss leader.
That's right. That's right. Loss leader. We'll give you the hot dog for $1.50 and the drinks $10.
Well, roasted chicken for $4.99. That's their biggest.
Yeah, I get it.
But they sell millions of them.
Your 10-round punch card.
Yes.
Get it. You're raising it then to $175.
Yeah, that's what I'm suggesting. It comes out to $187.69. With the rate increase, I still think that's a good deal. It's $18.76.
That's a big
still a 20% discount, but it helps us on the end. I mean, it's a big jump from 150 to 187.69, but I think that's where we should be with where our rates are at. I didn't, if you remember, even though we increased rates last year, I kept the punch cards the same. So those are due for an increase.
How many 10-round punch cards did you sell last
year? I should have looked at our 10. I know we sold 184, 180 somewhere for the range punch cards. I should have checked how many we sold actual punch card rates. It's probably lower than that. So the bulk of them would get sold Black Friday anyways. So if we're going to discount the discount, then we might as well bump that up a little bit. Couple of the bigger increases are going to be for tournaments, which I'm okay with. You know, we're not charging the tax, right? We're including the tax right now, so this is the rate that they're paying. Sorry again. This is the rate they're paying without tax. So, for example, tournament Tuesday and Wednesday, they're paying $7,000. They're really paying $8,000, but we're giving, or $7,500, but we're giving a credit back in merchandise, so basically a gift card. $8,000 for Thursday and Friday, and then $11,000 for Saturday, Sunday. We charge those same rates plus tax. This is the difference. So, you know, over the course of 50 tournaments, that essentially could be anywhere from $35,000 to $50,000 more dollars for the year on tournaments.
So you'll be getting $507 more per tournament, right?
Even more on the
weekend.
Yeah, so. The difference between this year, you know, if we make 6.5, 2.6, and then we're making the actual amounts are these, so the net increase there. Punch card for the for the range, 125.
But that's not true. You're not making more. I mean, you're only making the.
You're just making the tax.
You're not making 90. $980.
That's how much more they would have to pay. But you're right.
No, they're not paying that much more.
Yeah, they are. Because now it's that fee.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yes, because they're only paying the $7.
They're paying $7, so they're paying and now you're going to charge them $75.
$507.50 right. more. That's just how much more.
Right. And you're not making more because you're making the difference between $65 and $7 grand.
You are netting more because before. He had to take the tax out.
But the 980 isn't right.
What you're making is the 473.
You're making the tax, right.
That column.
That's exactly this is right just tax. More off of what the our pre-tax amount was. You're right. So, kind of same with the punch card. So 139.86. That difference between there and there is the 47.83. So this is not how much more we're making. That's just the difference between the included tax rate before tax and then what they're paying after. Our punch card rate, 125 up from 100. So a $25 increase there plus tax. This is the one I kind of went back and forth on quite a bit, is the range tokens. I have done the math and we could charge this $8.14 dollars for tokens and do 35% less business and still make the same amount of money. So I think just for I don't think we're gonna lose 35% of business on driving range. But it would certainly help with the condition of the driving range to have less people play.
That's not gonna happen.
No.
They're just gonna pay it.
One way I think we're gonna, to justify, and again, I agree with Court, I don't know if we have to, there's not gonna be very few people that argue this. Right now, our $6 token and our $10 token, each token has 35 golf balls. We're gonna bump that up to 40. That puts us more in line with what Lakeside is doing for their baskets and what Bonneville and Mountaindale are doing with their baskets as well. So they'll get a few more balls per token.
Well, so that
but they're still paying.
That's a 10%. So you're going from 35 to 40. That's five. So yeah. That's 15% more balls.
Mm-hmm.
I would get a sticker on somewhere at the counter that says,
yeah.
You know, new rates, but 15% more balls.
And if they actually buy the punch card rate at 134.06, it ends up being about the same as what they were paying for a single token now. So we could tell them if you buy the punch card, you're getting the same amount per ball as you were previously, but they've got to buy the punch card to do it. So hopefully that's kind of an incentive to push them to buy our punch cards. But either way, I prefer if they don't. If every person comes in and buys one token, I think that's awesome. So.
And everything's still cashless, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a big difference, because if you had to make
pennies,
change, you know, like,
yeah,
you're charging 10.14 and 10.41. But as long as it's cashless and it's not a card, I don't think people are going to.
That's the whole reason.
Too much, and if you get a little bit of pushback, that's fine. But
yeah.
I don't think you're going to see a rebellion. So,
no.
I mean, taxes are taxes, you know, life, death, and taxes. That's,
yeah.
So the major question is, do we charge tax? Do you collect tax?
We do. Yeah, that's what Tyler's saying. So
tax has been previously included in the round figure.
Yeah, we back it out. So Tyler's saying really the
now they're going to charge it up front.
The cost for the round
figure,
yeah.
See, which is.
I mean, what we make is not $20 today. It's $18.65.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's minus 7.25%.
Minus the tax.
Yeah.
Okay.
And these would go into effect next year, Tyler?
Yeah, so I'm hoping to get it on the fee schedule change on the next
mm-hmm.
city council meeting. And then I'd actually probably would start it November 15th before our Black Friday sale. Just for the punch cards.
So I'm sorry, I've been distracted a little. Basically, you're not raising rates, you're just charging tax.
Yeah, yep, so we're.
Which I think is a
one. You're adding tax onto the existing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so all it really means is you just have to put an asterisk somewhere on your cards and on your website that says.
Tax not included.
Class not included.
Yeah.
And
our online system. Honestly, I think very few people will even see a difference, because what's going to show them for the rate will still be the same, but when they go to check out, just like your
it'll
add tax at the very end. I think very few people will even notice.
Well, I'm just saying, you want to have an asterisk somewhere,
yeah.
So they say, well, that's not what it said.
Yeah,
and you can just. But
yeah.
I think it's a shrewd maneuver at bumping your rate 7.5% without it. Being in people's face.
Yeah.
For your financials and your auditors, et cetera, though, why don't you make it effective at the start of the fiscal year? That would be a lot easier.
I did ask Heidi about that. She said as long as we're starting it at a start of the month, it will be about the same. Because she's remitting and paying the taxes monthly. So as long as it's at a start of a calendar monthly date, the first of a month,
which could still be at the start of the new fiscal year.
We could.
You're already doing it on the punch card. Are you doing it on some of the other elements too?
Yeah, right now. So like the punch card, we're charging the $139.86. Everybody sees it at $150 though.
No, my last punch card came through at $169, et cetera. $150 plus tax.
Shouldn't have.
I want to just, yeah, I want
to refund. I'll double check for you.
Okay.
You may have, they may have charged you for a cart fee on top of that, and that may be why it came up to one.
No, well.
But the system's only set up to charge for $150.
Okay, okay.
And even the range tokens, yeah, we're still charging $6. These ones we do have tax excluded, but people don't see it because it's on our end. So when I click on this button in our point of sale system, it shows the $139.86. When I go to check out, it's $10.14. Because we're not, you know, people aren't purchasing those online. We do have punch cards online, but
yeah,
you're not buying range tokens. The biggest issue for me is online
that's
point of sale.
That's what I wondered, yeah.
That's what's being charged at 0% and what I want to change. So.
Okay.
I think I've got a little bit more of a breakdown. I highlighted the youth on course rate. We don't sell that one online. That one, I called Youth on Course, Utah Golf Foundation today, and I just kind of asked him, what are other courses doing? Are they charging that five? Their biggest thing is they want kids to play for $5. We get reimbursed for the other five, so they're essentially paying 10. So it's a very small amount of our rounds of play. So I kept it at 5. So really we'll be at 466 with 34 cents on those and 923. So that's why I highlighted that one to be the same. We are gonna charge them tax on the cart fee. So that's $10.39. So they would pay $15.39 if they wanted to play 9 in a cart. That's kind of my only exception of not charging a flat.
Youths can't take a cart, can they?
If they're 16. Yes.
Isn't
yeah.
That a really small
it's a pretty group small group, yeah. Mostly the high school golf team kids. There's the corporate rates. I kept these the same. Again, we'll be just charging the tax on top of that. They do get the $500 back on the Tuesday, Wednesday towards the pro shop credit, and then $1,000 for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Amounts. I still like to keep doing dynamic pricing. I tried to run a report today and I wasn't getting back the numbers that I wanted for to show you guys the difference on what we're making off of a normal rack rate. It's substantial. I mean, for what people are paying on the weekends for golf. I mean, we almost every tee time is paid at over 60 on Saturdays and Sundays. We do have a small section of times that are 59, and then the afternoon special still. But
What's the top rate? What's the peak rate?
65, I think, is
what the 65 is the highest as well.
Mm-hmm.
With cart.
Mm-hmm.
How busy Sunday?
Very. Very busy. It's kind of the same. An old Sunday
Was it very busy? Again, I live there, but I don't pay any attention, don't play on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Is that changed nationally? Is it changed here?
Yeah.
Is that just more non-Mormons moving in to play golf? And so they're looking, I'm just asking because I.
Yeah, I don't know the demographics. It would have to be because a Sunday is like an old Friday almost, even an old Saturday maybe. We used to be
So it's significantly bitter than it used
to
be.
There was a special afternoon.
As I remember, that's what Brent said, is he would almost give it away on Sundays because no one was playing.
After 1 o'clock, it would be dead. But now, I'm tempted to even move our afternoon special from 2 to 3, and maybe you guys can give me your opinions there. I think it's become a kind of a, not a cult following, but there's some that come, I want to go to Eaglewood because they have this special. And it is a discounted rate, 25 and 50. We'll still be paying the taxes on there. We're filling up those times. So
count your blessings.
I'm tempted to move it to 3 with, I think people, there's a few that every Friday at 2 o'clock, that's their tee time they get every week, that I'd have to say, hey, we're moving it to 3, but I think very few people would notice that we're moving it an hour back.
And in the summer, even at 3 o'clock, you have plenty of time to complete an 18-hole round, so it shouldn't be an issue.
Does that affect us too, then?
I vote no if it affects me.
I was going to say, I vote no because I'm one of them that's drinking the 2 o'clock.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't, shouldn't affect us. Because we're,
and that's probably,
we get grandfathered in.
There might be a
there
special
you
waiver,
okay.
You know, if you show ID and remorse if
it's a good way to do it, that's fine to try to calm it down. But I know it's pretty busy.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, if you moved any special rate to 3 o'clock, it would be better too, because you're having some morning tournaments too, and that would give you at least 1 hour of open play at full rate, mm-hmm. rather than a discounted rate, or especially on Sunday.
Yeah. That's why I'm a little bit torn. I try to put myself in the customer's shoes and have it both ways. I mean, it would be an incremental increase for us on revenue if we do fill those times at a regular rate. And I've even thought of doing a afternoon special, but having that being more of a dynamic pricing too. So rather than having it be a flat rate, our rack rate is the 25 and 50, but depending on how busy we are and how quickly it fills up, that rate changes, like we've had other days. So
yeah, that's a good idea. After you get so many foursomes, whatever it is, then it would automatically go up. Mm-hmm. Well, like the first 10 groups might get it, or the first 8 groups.
So I may stick with it for this next year and do some better data collection on what that is and what that potentially could be and how busy we are. And maybe I'll do it for the rest of this year and we can make another fee change before the start of next year, if you guys are comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Forward with this for now, and then whenever we have another fee schedule change, I'll bring it to you guys next quarter, next time we meet, to see this is what I've got, this is the data we have, this is how many rounds.
I would strongly propose, though, that you implement the addition of taxes on top of the current rates starting at the start of this fiscal year.
Okay.
Rather than, because I don't think you're going to get much pushback at all. And it's really fair. That's what everybody, all other businesses do that. So you're
July
not.
July 1st. June 30th to July 1st.
I don't think people.
July 1st.
Yeah. I'm sorry, the fiscal year goes from July 1st to June 30th.
I think if I have everybody's support, I'm happy to push that forward. It's a pretty easy switch over for us. I'd have to change a few items, but it wouldn't take me more than half a day.
I agree with you. I think it's a good idea to do it at the beginning of the fiscal year rather than trying to. It'll make your accountants a lot happier.
Yeah,
I may have to
adjust the tournaments we have in July, August, September. That's my only, the ones that I've already sent
booked.
Invoices to are booked.
That's true.
If they've already booked them,
up.
I mean, what you could just explain to them, you know, we had not added the tax onto the rate, and now we've been instructed to do so.
Yeah.
Again, I just don't see how they can.
They may not like it.
If
they've committed to something, I don't think that's fair. I mean, I get you could
do it, but I don't.
I think that's bad business, personally. Yeah. But
signing up a new tournament, though.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
New tournaments. Yes.
That's exactly how I feel.
But if they've already signed, put their money down.
I mean, the majority of our tournaments are in June. We have several July, August, September. Couple of October too, that it wouldn't impact us a ton. We'd still be making a prediction.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go back, and if they've already, especially if they've already tendered a check, I wouldn't.
A few of I've sent invoices out too.
They've set the budget, and they assumed that they're not having to spend an extra $1,000.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
we always raise our rates just before. The week before spring break, every year, because guess what? That's when they're coming,
yeah.
And we're setting the tone. So,
for you guys to do it in July. I mean, frankly, I think you're missing June.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But it makes sense to do it on July 1st because now you've got July, August, and September, which is going to be busy.
Yeah.
And that's how you easily justify it, is that's the start of our fiscal year, and this was determined before the, and it's being implemented at the start of the fiscal year. That's what governments do all the time.
Okay.
No one's going to notice.
No,
you put an asterisk and start charging tax.
Okay.
Go to Megaplex, like, buddy. They charge tax.
Okay, yeah. Sounds like I've got.
Go to Lagoon. They
support.
Charge tax. Go to Boondocks. They don't charge tax. But we don't charge tax because we don't want to deal with the pennies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our whole deal.
Even if you buy anything online now, they automatically tack on the sales tax when they see. They're shipping it to Utah, boom, taxes automatically add, and there's no way around it. So.
One other change on the simulators. I didn't put the tax in there because we were already charging tax on top of the rentals. So if someone paid $2,000 for their membership, we were then adding tax onto that already. I took off the 1 month membership and changed it to a 3 month. I think we'll get some better response there. The simulators they've been good. I still think we're, probably 4 years total to pay off our return on that. I would like it to be busier. I think with the expansion down there, we'll get quite a few people. I want to do a couple more open houses this fall before we get going. I didn't... Some of the 1 month memberships worked out great for some. Others, it was more of a, they did it because they were going to be gone over Christmas. And it was just more of an administrative hassle for us to, hey, can we get an extra week because we're going to be gone here? We don't want to, can you skip this week and then invoice me for next week? And we're adjusting payments. And it was just kind of a negative experience for Alan and I and our staff to kind of police everybody that was using it. So I think a 3 month one at this cost still makes it worth it for us. But for someone that really wants December, January, February, that gives them opportunity to buy that at that rate. We ended up about the same, I should have put it on here, about the same amount of revenue on the simulators this year as we did last year. But we had twice as many people play. So, which is not what we want.
I was going to really. Say that's backwards.
Yeah. So I think by taking the month, 1 month away, doing 3 months, I think we'll be kind of back on track where we want to be. Nothing changed on, I'm not recommending any changes on the event center rental. I think we're kind of in a good spot. We're not the cheapest, but we're not anywhere close to some of the actual designated wedding venues for what they're at the cost. I have a small sampling of some of those, maybe I'll email out to everybody. But for the space rental we have, we're inexpensive, but it also, people have to realize we're a golf course first and a wedding venue, reception center second. So I think we're a good spot.
Are more people using Justin's staff for their food and beverage?
Yeah, almost exclusively. And it was my fault last year. I had the change for us to not allow any outside catering. And this is almost identical what I put in, no outside food or beverage, but I didn't take it off of the fee schedule that was presented to City Council. So it was my fault leaving it in there. But this year, we'll have it take it off. We just, with us using the prep kitchen and the space, we don't have a area that, for the health department to be okay with an outside caterer coming in, a hand sink for staff that's really mixing in with our professional commercial kitchen. So we really shouldn't allow any. We have made some exceptions for groups to bring in pre-made cookies, pre-made things that they're bringing in and using as long as they're meeting our minimums for food. But no outside caterings groups are allowed.
Joel, how does it work when somebody does a wedding reception and they want to have a bar? How does it work?
So we charge them a deposit for the alcohol,
500,
and then we charge them hourly for the bartender. I think it's 50. I've got it on our form. So $50 an hour for the bartender.
For each bartender?
For each bartender.
If they have more than one.
Yep, if they have over, I think it's over 80 people, we'd make them have two. And then a minimum of 4 hours for the bartender.
And who provides the bartender?
We do. So we have a few people that we've hired.
So you've got
part-time
some
staff.
Hires, okay.
Yeah, some professional bartenders that kind of a side part-time job for them. When we have a 3 or 4 people list that Justin's been able to utilize.
And does the event have to get their own permit? A one-day special event?
No.
From the DABC? Or?
If we have, I'll have to check with Justin. There are some special restrictions on there. If they're just doing beer, wine, and seltzer, we don't. If they are doing, we essentially have to send to DAPC what event list we're doing. So we have to tell them this is the date of the event, this is the name, contact information, and what we're serving for them. So we don't have to have a specialty permit for it, but we do have to notify the DAPC that we are serving off of our banquet license that we have.
And wine and other and liquor has to be purchased through the DABC, right?
Yes. Yeah. For us to sell, we do DABC and allows them to bring up. They can purchase their own for us to hand out and serve, but it has to be through the bartender for them to do it.
What percent of receptions up there are doing?
Pretty small. I would say 10%.
Seriously? 10%. Only that?
Yeah, it's pretty small.
A lot of LDS.
The golf, so are they not getting beers with golf?
We've had some wedding groups that have gone out and played in.
No, I'm not. I'm it's when
yeah,
they
it's a different.
With a golf tournament and they get lunch.
That's a different
structure. Okay.
Yeah, so we have two different alcohol licenses. We have the beer recreation license that is beer, seltzer, that we can serve off beverage carts that comes out of the grill. The banquet license lets us do mixed drinks and liquor that can only be served in that event center space. We can block off the deck too, but it has to be designated. This is a private event that golfers couldn't walk up and grab drinks from the bartender. But
so the public can't want.
But only with the receptions, I get it. With the golf tournaments, it's got to be more than 10% that's getting.
Yeah, almost all of them will purchase alcohol. And we even have a couple this week that we're trying to organize. They want to golf, and then they want to have a private event for like a beer and wine mixer after with food. So
in
we're organizing some more of those. As you're golfing, and then you have a private event after. We have two that I know of that we've scheduled it that way.
When someone tries to book the reception center, is it clear that they can do alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
But it's still only 10%.
Yeah, I'll find out the exact numbers, but it seems pretty low for amount we've had.
Yeah,
and we may, at least what we've had so far, we may have more in June, July, August.
So that's big. That's a huge profit area too. I mean,
it is.
Something we have to.
We've done really well on beer. Maybe our next meeting, I'll pull up our sales sheet on what we've done. Food and beverage wise for sales, but I don't know if any of you have been up there. Justin's done a good job on bringing in a wide selection. I doubt any other golf course, at least in Wasatch Front, has the options that we do, which people have liked. We've been pretty cautious on making sure we're not getting too much inventory and something we're not selling through, but people have liked it and we've sold a lot of it. We even have a private label beer. It's just kind of cool that Be Welder Brewing Companies put a private label on. They made a specialty beer for us with our.
What's that, Tyler Special?
Is it the Eaglewood IPA?
No, it's something Tea Time. I might have a picture of it.
Tea Time.
Tea Time something.
Tyler's Tea Time Teetotaler.
Yeah.
Made for teetotalers. Get your tea time.
So it's pretty cool. I'll take a picture of them.
Has it been successful?
Yeah, we've sold a few. We've only had it for a week and a half or so. But
the problem in Utah is you're restricted on advertising these things.
Yeah.
See, if we could advertise it, you'd be surprised. People would come out of the woodwork just to people would come, believe it or not, some people I know would come and play golf just to try your beer. They
just try your beer.
We are making our own hot dogs now. We bought a sausage maker, so.
Well, that was his special.
One of the reasons we hired him was.
Yeah, your bratwursters, those are good.
Good. So we're making.
He's making his own brats, huh?
Yeah, wow. Brats and Polish dogs right now.
I'll have to try.
And hamburger, for that matter. We're grinding our own hamburger meat, so it's all fresh. Wow. And there you go. So.
Quick question for you. Does it make any sense to have a 3-hour rental? Is there no, I mean, I'm, I get for events, but there are some, in my world, there's some corporate people who like to do corporate business meetings and lunch.
So that's a great point, and I probably should have brought it on here. I'm thinking more or less for the Gateway Parks group. The Gateway Parks, the tubing groups. So having, and what Justin and Angie and I have talked about this, is if we do a 3-hour booking, we wouldn't allow them to bring any decorations or do anything to the space.
Right.
But we would have it set up ready.
Right.
It'd almost be like a golf tournament. You come in, we've got a buffet set up, you guys would eat, you could socialize for 3 hours.
Have your meeting.
And then you're out. I think we could garner some business from companies and outings that are doing the tubing thing to tube for an hour, have your company dinner.
So you're talking primarily in the winter, obviously.
Yeah, we were so busy summertime with golf tournaments and that.
Yeah,
and see, I'm thinking shoulder months.
Yeah.
I'm thinking fall. I'm not thinking winter. Because, but I am thinking shoulder months. I think there's businesses that need space, and they're paying for it in hotels and.
Yeah.
Weird places.
And
I think that view is killer.
How's it structured for holiday dinners and things now?
Same. And the reason that we went to 6-hour minimum is, and not to say we couldn't overcome this, and I think our first year we were allowing shorter rentals, and it became, you know, your rentals from four to eight.
Keep it in a 2 or 3 hour time period. Anyway.
You know, your rentals from 4 to 8, well, what time can we come set up? 4 to 8, that's your rental. Well, can we come at 2 and set up decoration?
Yeah.
And it just became us trying to battle those wedding groups. But I think, to your point, I think we could do smaller, pared down stuff that.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
$2,800 for some corporate groups in 6 hours is like, well, that I don't need that.
Yeah.
I mean, I need a place to. Serve people brunch, lunch, and have a 1-hour meeting, and I'm out of here.
I think I could bring this back to you guys and maybe get a consensus on an email for some pricing on that. That maybe would start limiting it to weekdays, and seeing how it goes with.
I totally understand the success. I mean, my response back to them if it were 3 hours is, it's 3 hours.
Yeah.
And there is no setup because.
Yeah.
We've set it up, and
yeah.
But the setup time and employees needed to set up are the same for 3 hours as it is for 6 hours. So
yeah, but I'm just saying I think we're leaving money on the table because there's a lot of groups that don't want 6 hours and aren't going to spend $2,800.
Yeah,
I mean that works great for reception, but for a business meeting,
and it's just priced at 20% instead of just taking 50% of the 6 hour total. Make it 70% of the
1,800 bucks
or and people would do it, sure.
Yeah, I think one thing that's been successful for us this year is we've had Friday, Saturday events. We've required them to do a 12-hour rental instead of the 6, because to your point, it costs us the same.
Right.
And we still have golf play. So we're making more money. We still have public play. We're not giving up anything in the morning. And frankly, the groups that have booked 12 hours, they're there from 10 to 10, but they're really only using it for 7. You know, they'll drop stuff off in the morning, go to the temple, have their ceremony, or have a luncheon. They're taking breaks. So it's been good for us, and I think it will be.
Gives them
setup
time.
Yeah. So we'll probably have less events, but we'll make more money because we're doing more of the 12-hour events rather than trying to fit 2 6-hour events in the same day, which was chaotic. So. Anyways, Well, I'll do some research on the 3 hours.
I'm just trying, like I said, I'm just thinking.
The Gateway Parks tubing group, they were up for a minute yesterday, just had a 20-minute kind of run through with them, and they kind of hinted that we would get some, they get a lot of groups and work groups and company outings and things that we can help market, that they can help us market and we can help them market for activities, so.
That could be big in the winter.
I think it'd be a good opportunity for us. I'm excited for their operation and ours to see how well it does. That's all I had.
We've made a lot of comments already.
Do you need a formal proposal from this committee that we adopt and embrace those? I'm not going to call it a fee increase. I'm going to call it adding tax to the
fee,
the rounded rate that's currently in effect. If so, I propose that we approve that and support that.
That'd be great.
Second.
Second.
Third.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Perfect. Okay. I'll get this on there. I will get some information back to you maybe in the next couple weeks on the afternoon special, just some numbers there. I'll try to get the dynamic pricing just for your information and what we've done and made there, and then the 3 hour rental. I'll work on some of that data. And
so I would just say again, and I've said this before, but so if you're gonna do 3.5 this year, assuming nothing increases, we're looking at a 7.5% bump. So we were talking about another $300,000. So now we're at 3.8.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't include the additional revenue you should make downstairs with the additional simulator party space.
Yeah.
It does not include, I mean, I'm just saying, this is $4 million next year, next fiscal year.
Keeps growing, yeah.
Not counting the snow guys and that stuff.
Yeah.
And now, and again, I'm not sure who I'm looking at here, but I guess what I'm saying is, in our business, our guys get sloppy when the numbers get too high because they lose focus on really on the bottom line. The revenue is a great forgiver, which means we don't have to focus on the cost. But controlling the cost is where we make the money.
That's right.
And so, I'm just being the hard-nosed business guy here and raising
And I'll
that
be
issue.
The first to admit that the last 2 years, and even this year, I've spent more money than I wanted to. And I'm traditionally a pretty conservative spender. Obviously, with the building and trying to get things going, we've needed things throughout last year.
Well, the building's a whole different issue. That's a CapEx item. That's different than monitoring labor costs and controlling.
I will say a lot of our expenses are in our operating supplies that are on a fiscal year.
That'll come back in the long term.
So next year, my aim is to cut costs. Not cut costs, but
control
what we're spending our money on.
Do you still have a small surplus in what was budgeted for the whole renovation, including the maybe an update on the parking lot resurfacing?
Oh yeah, that parking lot.
So they cut in.
That's one big chuckle.
it's the only embarrassment up there right now.
They cut in the last drain today. They're pouring concrete for it tomorrow. And then Monday, they're starting to pull out all the asphalt.
Nice.
And then by Wednesday, they're supposed to be pouring it back in. So by the weekend, next week, we should have a whole mostly brand new parking lot. I'm hoping to have it striped.
So we're talking new blacktop and new striping, the whole deal.
Yeah,
they have to do new road base, too.
Right.
It's sunk in places.
Yeah. You'll see there's two sections that we're not doing. The middle section and then the upper section by the garbage can, you'll be able to tell the difference probably for the next 2.5 months between the new and the old. And then we're going to do a surface treatment when it gets a little warmer, and then restripe. So by mid-July, you won't be able to tell that we have, it'll be look like a brand new parking lot. But for the most part, 80% of it will look pristine.
Yeah.
And that's the worst of it, is that big U section, especially in front of the building. We'll get done. The new drainage worked great. We've had a couple really big storms the last 2 weeks that have had, and water actually gets out of the parking lot now, which is great.
Nice. Instead of standing up against the...
Yeah, that's really been the problem. That's what's damaged the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is not having...
So it's working, and I think that the additional drain we put in today is going to help even more, so...
You'll be surprised how many people really notice that, too, especially your outings and tournament people and event center people. I mean, that just... That's the first thing they see when you come on the property.
It's the first impression.
I'm embarrassed.
It's the very first impression.
Even the handicapped parking spots. Every time I look at them, I'm embarrassed how they look right now. You can't really see any paint. It's decrepit, really.
But you know, it's being taken care of.
But yeah, we're getting there.
That's good. That's great.
We're going to paint some additional lines on the where the cart parking is too, to kind of designate some parking stalls for golf carts. So adding a few things there as well.
Nice. Congratulations, Tyler.
Yeah.
Again.
It's been a lot of work.
I know, but work is work.
Yeah.
Just one other quick question before we adjourn. Have you been able to hire the people in the shop and your outside services people that you need? Are you happy with your...
Yeah, I have a couple.
There's always turnover.
Yeah. I took we had a lot of returning staff from last year, which helped a lot. There was a few high school kids that were really good that we rehired. I made it a point to hire older staff members, so college age and older, which I think has helped outside services be a little bit more focused. I probably could use one more really knowledgeable and good pro shop staff member to help, but for the most part, right now we're pretty well going.
You've got good staff there.
Yeah.
And they're pretty attentive too.
Good.
Which I appreciate. So.
Yeah, they're pretty good when I'm there. I worry about when I'm not there, but.
Yeah. Well, they do a good job. I'm there enough that I can tell you they're
good.
Doing a good job.
Good.
She's casting the watchful eye.
Good.
Yeah.
Do please. I mean, I'd like to be there 24/7, but I can't, fortunately. So.
No.
Well,
you shouldn't be.
No.
But
yeah, I'm happy with where we're at on the golf course side. Happy with, we've done a good job on hiring for maintenance. Weston has a really good crew again.
Weston's
this year.
Got a crew he needs to.
Yeah, really good. A lot of returning guys, and then his
returning
staff.
Returning Letterman
yep,
on the staff.
Yep, and his full-time staff has been great too. So we're there. I think we.
And the course really is looking very good. I know which areas you want to modify or change or whatever, and I can tell you the red tee boxes need some help.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it really does look good. And they were, I found out today, they were double mowing today.
Yeah,
now,
so
I didn't
there.
Know what double mowing was, but it's because of the weather that we had on the front end, the snow and et cetera. They need to have it finished in order to last through next Monday before they start mowing again. Because otherwise, they're mowing day one, day two, and that doesn't work very well. But so you've got one more going this way, and this more going that way, and you know,
they look
and
nice
they've
today.
Got what they need. But
they look nice today.
Yeah,
you know.
That is the question I have.
Does he have any triplex mowers for the fairways? Does he use triplex mowers on the fairways?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're actually, we have equipment that we've been waiting on. We finally potentially have two lease return fairway mowers from Oak Ridge that turf equipment's brought over for us to look at before we purchase. Our fairway mowers are 15 years old. Those are typically 8 years. So we have got a really good lifespan and push these out as far as we can. We're looking at getting these two least return ones that combined are $50,000 each. They're 5-year-old piece of equipment. A new fairway mower is $100,000 each. So we save $150,000 on getting these two least return. So we're hopeful that we're testing them right now. We're sending some oil samples in to get tested to make sure we're not buying junk, but even if I told Weston, even if we have to put 15,000 total into both of these, we're still saving $135,000 of equipment. So we have a few things coming, a new Sand Pro, some pieces of equipment to help our Ventrac. Edger for the cart pass is one thing, a goal we've had. A rough, tough cut mower to cut some of the higher brush, native grass. So we've got a few things coming that we've just been waiting on that are finally, hopefully, going to be here in the next 90 days. So.
What does he use to cut the deep stuff now? Does he just?
We have a native mower that's about 10 years old that's on its last legs, too.
And one person only can operate it.
It's you get on some of those native hills, it's Deb, and I would not do it. He is pretty brave that he's riding on the Ventrac we have is a dually piece of equipment. And we actually, I think we save money because that piece of equipment attachment on that is $6,000, where a new native mower is $55,000. So we save $50,000 by getting an attachment. So I think it'll work out good.
And Deb is only, as far as I know, he's only flipped it once.
Yeah, once or twice, I think.
Nobody else will drive it on the Navy.
No. He's pretty brave. He is fearless.
Now, there are some side hill lies out there.
So the pond project was approved last night, City Council, for.
Oh, was it? Yes. That's right, for a whole eight.
Royce Inc.
What was it?
Royce Inc.
The modification of whole eight.
So the group that got awarded the bid should start October 1st with this front project. Weston.
How far around is it going to go?
So if you'll follow the cursor, it'll kind of follow this outside edge.
Right.
We'll follow here. It'll kind of cut here, just the left side of 10 Green.
Uh-huh.
It'll take out probably these two pine trees.
Okay.
And then loop here in front.
Wow.
And then it'll take out these two bunkers.
Oh my word!
It's true island hole. Well,
I love it.
And it'll connect here, so we'll
be close.
80% island hole.
Yeah, we will have a little walkway here. The reason why we didn't bring it all the way over is there is main power lines and main water lines. You can kind of see them on this.
Yeah.
They're coming right here, so it would be super expensive for us to move.
Yeah.
So this is the inflow into the lake right here. And that's coming from this way. And then this pump house has a lot of stuff coming in.
That's cool. That's going to give you a little hazard on the left of 10 Green, too.
Yeah, it'll come into play.
You pull your approach here.
So one concern I have, and this kind of goes into what bond money we have left. We've used some of it towards redoing some of the T-markers and T-boxes. I think having this as an island green, what tee boxes we have are just going to get absolutely destroyed. I think people will sit on the tee box and hit two or three shots trying to get onto this island green. I think it changes the dynamic of the hole, but also the amount of wear and tear we're going to get.
Oh, interesting.
So Weston and I have talked about expanding. This is our generic white tee box. We do bounce the blue the blue tee markers from these two. And then the black tee markers kind of bounce back here and forth. Our red and yellow tee box tee markers kind of bounce between these two, mostly here. We're looking at expanding this white tee box all the way out over into here to make a really big wide tee box area. And this actually comes out to here. We just don't mow it that wide. But making this red tee box a really large T-box area here that we can move the reds and the whites and the yellows kind of interchangeably between these two really large
spots.
And really utilize these less. So have the black and the blue.
That's what they do, you know, on the floating green and the Coeur d'Alene. They just have like a
two-acre
wide T-box. And so you're changing the angle slightly, but that's what you have to do, and that's why they do that. Of course, they also put up a sign, no bondens, please, on this hole.
Nobody listens.
Yeah.
But, unless you have a...
Who gets the golf ball concession? The used golf ball concession.
We do have a scuba diver that comes twice a year, and he gives us 50 or 70% of what he collects. He keeps the really good stuff and gives us the used balls to sell.
Because there's going to be a lot.
There's going to be a lot.
I want mine back.
So the amount of dirt that they're gonna collect and move out of here, I think will give us plenty to build these two tee lines.
Because there's a hill between the white and the red right now.
Yes, this, yeah.
Yeah,
this, from this tee box to this tee box is about 8 foot drop.
Yeah.
So we'll have to fill this in quite a bit. We'll have to take out just a few.
We'll take out a couple of those trees that are old anyway.
Yeah, there, this is an aspen grove here. We'll take out some there.
Yeah.
But I think we'll have enough dirt. We're gonna try to do, we can kind of dictate where these guys move the dirt to. We were originally just gonna move it up into here and then seed it. But if we can get it to move up into here and then kind of rough shape it for us, so save us some time and money. Which should be.
It's gonna be a fun hole.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Random question. You're taking trees out. I
just install giant nets and you don't have to hire a scuba diver. Just bring in the nets twice a week, you know.
The chance to replant those trees?
Yeah, so these two pine trees are dead.
Okay.
This pine tree is diseased. And these are two cottonwood trees. So we won't miss those a ton. This one will be kind of on the edge. We'll have to see if we keep that one or not.
Again, I just like,
We
just keep losing trees.
This next fiscal year tentative budget went from 5,000 in trees to 10,000 trees. So we're planning on putting some in.
Please.
Yeah.
Please.
My thought is right off the left side of 6, all just a tree line. No, I'm just kidding. your neighbors would be all over me on that one.
What? We lost 90 trees in one storm.
Yeah.
And we never replaced them.
No.
And I keep looking at all these diseased trees that keep coming, and they just...
Yeah, you'll notice we'll keep losing more and more cottonwood trees as they kind of get to the end of their life cycle.
I just like to do some...
We cut down probably 20 trees this winter.
This year, next year...
the willow was the one that I really had a hard time with. Yeah.
This year or next year around Arbor Day, why don't we put together a tree campaign for the golf course where you have residents each donate a tree?
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'll be the first one to donate.
Do they put names? Do they get their name by the tree?
That's a great program.
You could do that, but really, even if you don't put names on them, it's people will do it. I mean, it's great.
I think we could even put together a little map and people could select where they want their tree to go. Maybe a list of the type of tree, and we can make it fun.
Have a list of 6 or 12 or 10.
I'll put mine right in the middle of 10, like they did in the old Tri-City.
You can say El Monte's same way, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tyler, any update on the vandalism from Wing Song or whatever that Wing Song?
We have not that group yet. Craig and I have talked a little bit about having the drone and the patrol officer for that weekend after school is out, just to kind of see. I think that's when they're going to start, if we can nip it in the bud there before they really get going in the summer. I'm kind of hoping the word is spreading that we are being vigilant, and
we are going to send out the letter in the next couple of
what's the letter
to all the surrounding property owners, asking people to be aware there's vandalism, staff the course.
Be responsible.
Keep your dogs off, report vandalism.
I'm excited that the drone is a game changer, I think, for us to be able to
catch. Yeah, we've caught kids.
Well, I'm assuming you know what's happened in my backyard.
Yeah, I do.
And frankly, it hasn't happened in my backyard, it's happened from my backyard. And that is, I mean, my wife and I look out almost every night and look down and are like, scouting to see if there's any movement.
Well, those kids just jump into people's yards.
Yeah, no, and then run. And I get it. I did it when I was a kid. I didn't do the kind of stuff they're doing, but.
Yeah, but you didn't respect fence lines.
I ran through plenty of yards. Yeah. We owned the neighborhood, so I get it. But okay.
Running through the yard of vandalism are two different things, unless, you know.
Well, they run through the yard to get away from the cops who are chasing them for being vandals.
That's true. Yeah, it's disturbing to watch those. Terrible.
So hopefully we can, hopefully there's nothing. Hopefully they aren't the golf course. It's very unlikely that there won't be up there, but we're going to try to catch them before it gets too severe.
Well, I think you're right. Nipping it in the bud's the right thing. And if you can
I think all it's going to take to catch a few of those kids, and word's going to spread on the upper side.
Totally.
Just like the South.
Totally.
We haven't had any issues since those two kids did get caught, and thanks to Karen.
Yeah.
I mean.
Hey, it's my second job. I'm a deputy sheriff.
I love it.
Just be careful, Karen, because you don't know who's packing and who isn't these days.
Well, these two were riding scooters on hole 15. On the green.
On the green?
Yeah. On the green. Yes, I have pictures.
How old
they were 13, 14?
13, yeah.
13.
13.
Something 12, like
13.
That.
Yeah.
But Jim was with me. He's one of the marshals. And some girls were watching, so they gave us names. And we gave all the data to Tyler with pictures and the whole bit. And he had fun.
We tracked him down.
Yeah, tracked him down. Got
and you got to give the parents credit.
Yeah, they've been
your parents stepped up.
Helpful.
Yeah, yeah, really good. I called him right after Karen said, "And hey, do you have officer up this way?" And he was there 15 minutes, and he went over there. I gave him the addresses. He went over their houses and trespassed them, and
so he did write a citation.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we didn't.
Where did it go?
Yeah, so they're coming. I haven't scheduled anything yet, but they're doing 100 hours of community service each at the golf course. So they'll be pulling weeds and doing the not so fun work. And I told them part of their requirement's going to be to help pick up trash after the Liberty Fest functions that morning. So.
And their parents are 100% supportive.
Yeah, it'd be great.
That's good.
That is good.
That's what we need.
They were doing they were the electrical scooters, so they're doing wheels too.
That's
and
pretty tough on greens. They're really tough.
I was just slightly upset.
Yeah, really.
But that's good. I'm glad they're going to be doing some work on it. So.
Well, thank you for catching me.
Tyler, good job. Really good.
Yeah. Last thing I have is we'd like to spend some of what, after the parking lot's done on the bond, on a few of these T-marker projects. So we'll kind of get together, cost them a few of those that are still in need of repair and functions and what that's going to, it shouldn't be much. I think we spent $35,000 or $40,000 on the really, really bad ones last spring. So we're going to try to get in the fall this year. But I'll let you know.
That'd be great.
Well, I propose we adjourn this meeting.
I second it.
All in favor?
Hi.
All in favor?
All in favor, Leslie.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, you bet. Court. Good to see you.
If Ron's still on.
He might be off.
He gave up on us.
Drop the top of my pen.
Extras, huh?